of our words, and we're going to jump back into it. The importance of what we say over ourselves, our families, our circumstances, our mountains, our business, over anything. It's what we say. Changing our talk doesn't come overnight. Trust me. Or with two sons. It's a lifestyle change. We have to make a conscious effort. Now, on my part, I had children to correct me. Bless their hearts. And, okay. So, we are people who believe the Word of God and knows that God doesn't change with the latest fad or with the end times. I worked an election with a lady, and she just assured me that God, the Bible, was not relevant anymore. We were smarter, and things just didn't work that way.
Oh.
If God says there is power in the tongue, so much power that it involves life and it involves death, we're going to take it seriously and we're going to say it's true. So here are a few versions of Proverbs 18:21. I got three. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. Is there another one? What you say can preserve life or destroy it. So you must accept the consequences of your words. You must accept the consequences of your words. We eat the fruit of our words. What that means, it's like a seed. It'll grow into a vegetable or a flower. Our words create a crop of positive or negative outcome. What we say. We are responsible for the words we speak and the impact they have. Not a lot of people are going to hear this teaching. They're not going to hear this. We choose to build up and not tear down. Whether that is our own selves, you're fat, you're ugly, you're getting old, and that hurt when you, that's our own selves, or I say that to someone else, or something else. So I'm going to give us all a pep talk. Proverbs 16:23, Lauren. Intelligent people think before they speak. What they say then is more persuasive. Now, I'm saying we're intelligent people. We don't fly off the handle and spout. I'm not going to look at anybody. So I don't want anybody to think I'm talking about them. We think before we speak. Your inner self-talk creates the circumstances of your life. So, if we want to change our circumstances, you don't like where your life's going, you don't like the way things are looking in your life, then we have to do what God says and instructs us to do. We have to put off the former man and renew the spirit of your mind. In order to change your mind, you must change your internal and your external speech. We need to be aware of thoughts that are sticking around and taking up space in our minds. I told you how many thoughts we have. I've done all that. Are they fearful, these thoughts that stick around? Are they full of regrets over past mistakes? Shame? Insecure? Are these the thoughts that we're thinking? Poverty? The mentality? Thoughts of never getting ahead. The doctor tells you something and that diagnosis is just there and there and you read about it and it expands and blah, blah, blah. Are these thoughts? Our self-thoughts? Internal? Our internal dialogue is a result of years of input. Mine was lack and poverty. That's what I dealt with all the time. If someone spoke negative statements over you as a child, then you have to retrain your mind to see the unlimited potential God has prepared in you through a series of positive inputs. The ratio to overcome a negative criticism, a conflict, negative self-talk is 5-1. Some say even more. And you just keep repeating that. So I'm going to give you an example. I just wrote this down. So example, you didn't get a job for some reason. And so instead of defeat and negative thoughts about not getting that job and rehearsing the negative over and over, I should have said, I could have said, what am I going to do? You know, if I'd have done this, if I'd have wore that, if I'd have said this, or how am I going to feed my family? What am I going to do? This. I will not throw away my confidence, and it will be richly rewarded. God knows the plans He has for me, plans for welfare, not evil, to give me a hope and a future. Everything I set my hands to prospers and succeeds. I am fulfilling my life assignments down to the last detail. I'm preparing for the next level. I am faithful to God, and He is faithful to me. Is that not much better? Is that not much better than thinking you're a loser? But taking it a step further, you need to hear yourself declare your words, your value, your potential. You can literally reprogram your mind for greatness. Amen? Okay. Here we go. Now, this is referred to as the brain, the mind, the soul of a man. I've said this, I'll say it again. This is where our decision-making process is. This is where our chooser is. Example. Some of you already know this. Okay? Set your mind down there. But Gavin had learning problems as a child. Reading was almost impossible. He was called many negative things by teachers and others, including stupid and ignorant. Eventually, a teacher came along and finally diagnosed him with dyslexia. She told him nothing was wrong with him and began to build his confidence up in schoolwork. And I think in fairness, let me just be fair here, people back then didn't know what dyslexia was. They just thought that's a dumb kid who can't read. But you guys know they see everything backwards. Now just remember, instead of God, you see dog. Just think about that. And so needless to say, he overcome and he devoured books. He was a reader. In fact, I've got so many books of his. And was in a job for many years. It's not just words, it's numbers. You think you have $1,000 in the bank, but he would see a penny. You see what I'm saying? But when I married him, his confidence was not there, even though he was a bit cocky. But we learned, he and I worked the power of our words. We learned that, and we won. We broke the curse over those words spoken over him. I'll get back to that in a minute. But what are we declaring every day without realizing the results that you're creating? I'm so tired. I don't have any energy. I never sleep. I'm always exhausted. I'm getting old. How about this? God renews my youth as the eagle. The joy of the Lord is my strength. God satisfies me with long life. See the difference? I mean, I can just talk about it and feel different. So do you know that advertisers and marketing campaigns spend billions of dollars planting slogans in our minds? Be all that you can be. United States Army. The Breakfast of Champions. Anybody know that one? Wings. Just do it. Finger licking good? Eat more chicken. Good to the last drop. Maxwell. Give me a break. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that. You guys are If you recognize any of these slogans, you have practiced the law of repetition without consciously doing so. We don't practice saying in a mirror, maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline. We simply have them, program them, and retrieve them. We were born with unlimited potential, but you have to program that into your subconscious mind. From the moment we were born, every single word we heard, everything you saw, every message you received was typed, so to speak, into your personal keyboard, our five physical senses. Then those messages were recorded into your hard drive, stored in your brain. The reason this is so important to grasp is because that particular, now listen to this, that particular part of the brain, which I don't know which side it is, doesn't know the difference between what is real or unreal, positive or negative, true or false. It just simply records the message that it's told. The Bible says that your words have the power to curse, to put you down, or to bless. When you choose to bless your own life by speaking positive, faith-filled words and declarations out of your mouth, your brain accepts it, whatever you tell it. You could be dog ugly. You could be a double bagger. And you can say, I'm beautiful. I'm beautiful. And I am not kidding you. There's about something probably about you that gets prettier, whether it's your personality, whether it's people want to be around you. You see what I'm saying? You go around acting like a double bagger, people not going to want to take that bag off. You see what I'm saying? It can be that way. I don't know where that came from, but anyway, whatever. So I've told you this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. There was a little boy, and he went out the backyard to play with a baseball and a bat. And he said, I am the best whole wide world. He throws the ball up, he rears back, swings, misses, strike one. Without hesitation, he picked up the ball, he tossed it in the air, and he swung at the best hitter in the whole world. Strike two. He gets the ball again, he swings the bat, and he misses. He tossed the ball up again. Okay, that's strike three. Even more determined. I'm the best hitter in the world. The little boy laid the bat down after the third strike. Really? He said, what do you know? I'm the best pitcher in all the world! Now, if we only had that optimism, and if we only said those positive things about ourselves, to affirm means to make firm. When you affirm, it's by declare and by faith. I am healthy and whole. I am successful. I'm peaceful. I'm joyful. I'm confident. I am highly favored by God. Your brain simply believes these things, are made firm in them. Consequently, it starts taking action in that direction. Your brain does that. Your brain likes to prove itself right. I know people that like to prove themselves right. It's their brain. Whatever instructions you give your brain repeatedly, it likes to go to work and make it happen. Again, the brain doesn't care if the information is positive or negative. It simply receives the message that you tell it, and it proactively looks for opportunities to make it a reality. Okay, do I have Proverbs 16? Did I give you that? You are snared with the words of your lips, and you are caught by the speech of your mouth. You're snared. Well, you guys know what this is. That's a brain about to fall. It's a trap. It's a trap. It's a booby trap. It's a booby trap. It's a net. It's a mine. It's a noose. It's a trap. Our words can be a trap. When we say things like, no matter what I do, my business won't grow, you just trap yourself into the business not growing. When you say things like, I get at this rate, we'll be in debt forever.
Yeah.
We just trapped ourselves into staying in debt. This is the snare. And our words, the Bible says, I didn't say this. That's what Proverbs said. Solomon said this, that you are snared by the words of your lips. So there's a story in the Bible about Zechariah. You guys know who that is. It's an angel appeared to him and said, Zechariah, you're going to have a baby and I want you to name him John. And Zechariah said, are you kidding me? Do you know how old I am? Know what the angel did? I'm going to show you. He zipped his lips. He did. He couldn't talk for 9 months. You know what? God couldn't let him talk. Jesus couldn't let him talk for 9 months. Because God knew if he let him talk, you'll mess up my whole plan with negativity. He needed John to pave the way for Jesus. So he shut his mouth. That's see, speaking faith, and you're speaking negative words like this. Zip it. It's my message, okay? Your lips. I go to great lengths to find these things. It's a big zipper. Again, your brain doesn't care if the information is positive or negative. It simply receives the message that you talk, that you tell it, and it proactively works for opportunities to make it heaven. Heaven. So, let's say Zechariah. And his wife got pregnant, and he kept saying, I can't see how you're going to carry that baby. You're so old. I don't know how you're going to deliver that. You're so old. I don't know how it happened. I'm so old. If he just kept doing it, think about that. It's amazing how important our words are. So when you say, I can't do this or I can't do that, like Zechariah, you're setting a trap. Zip your lips. I never have enough money. I look so old. That's why I say, my age, I'm healthy, I'm whole. God, I just see these things. I hate working out. Guess what? You'll always hate working out. You just said it. Your statements literally become instructions to your subconscious mind, whose duty it is to work endlessly to make sure the instructions are carried out. Our brain believes whatever we tell it the most. Romans 4, Lauren. As it is written, he had made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God. We're talking about Abraham, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existent things. Speaks of the non-existent things that has foretold and promised as if they already existed. So we are told to call those things that be not as though they were. Even if they don't exist, call them in. That's what Romans says. Paul said that. God's power will bring into existence things that do not exist yet, even things that seem impossible. It will give life to the dead, spiritual and literal. Look at that. It also means to align your speech with God's truth. It's not about denying the current reality or being dishonest. It's not about mind over matter. It's about focusing your desire and outcome and speaking it into existence based on faith in God's word. It's not really, it's what's hard about all this is the way this has been programmed through the years and people don't hear about it. So you got to unprogram yourself. It's not that God's word is hard. It's just one big old positive message. He had to deal with Abraham, and one way he dealt with Abraham is he changed his name to Abraham from Abram. Because he had to get him speaking, Father of many nations, Father of many nations, Father, 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 you know, to do that. So this is what, and he did the same with Sarai, to Sarah. This is what God did to get a 100-year-old man so that he would believe he and his 90-year-old wife could have a son. So I'm not saying old habits are a piece of cake to break or old patterns of thinking. It's not overnight. For example, you've got your head in the right direction as far as, let's use money. You've learned to believe God. You've learned to tithe. You've learned your promises. You've learned all of that, and you really, there's nothing that's going to change your mind. You think until something major. Car breaks down, transmission, or whatever. And then that old programming will kind of come back in. You know what I mean? Or that old way of thinking, or let's say you live in a beat up house or a beat up trailer, and you're hearing me talk, and you start believing for a house, and then the floor falls in. I had somebody in my family, I won't mention any name, but they broke their leg because the floor fell in. But never, didn't have to live that one. But that old thinking comes back in. That's just the way it's always been. I'm never going to be on what I make. How am I ever going to have a decent home? Those thoughts will come back in, and if you're not careful, you'll start speaking them. That's the way the enemy works. So it's watching what we say and saying what God says and speaking our desires. It has to become a daily routine. And we stay with it until we see change. So how long do I have to do this? Until it changes. Until it changes. When you've been some way or you think some way for 30, 40 years, you know, sometimes it takes time to change that. The Bible reveals to us that angels are at our disposal waiting for our commands. Lauren, give me 103. Psalms. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. So how do we activate angels on our behalf? Angels hark. They listen, giving respectful attention unto the word of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, unto his word. God gives instructions to his angels, and they carry them out. So when we pray for someone traveling, and we say, Father, in Jesus' name, we speak Psalms 91 over Kinsey. We thank you that every form of transportation is in excellent working order. The drivers, the pilots, the airplane, the boat, whatever is involved. And angels, we discharge you to watch over her, to be on guard, to watch, to carry out. Don't ever let her out of your sight. So we're praying this to the Father. We don't pray to angels. We pray this to the Father. We're praying his word. And I said Psalms 91. And he dispatches the angels on Kinsey's behalf. Because it's the word. Now, if I said something like, how can I do this? It's going to be exaggerated, all right? Lord, I sure do hope Kinsey don't get killed in a car wreck and get drunk down there and fall off the boat. You see what I'm saying? There is not a thing God can do about that because it's not in his word. You see what? And the angels are going to go, I'm not touching that. I'm not going to have anything to do with hurting that girl. They won't do it. They won't do it. So when we speak God's word, again, we release angels to go to work on our behalf. So when we speak contrary to the word of God, we prevent the angels from benefiting our lives. When we speak God's word out of our mouth, you have the ear of Almighty God. He loves nothing more than to hear his children speak his word back to him. In fact, when we speak the word of God, it's as if God is speaking the word of God. Because it's the word of God. When we speak the name of Jesus, all heaven stands to attention. We have no idea how powerful and how mighty that name is. We always need to start our declaration by saying, in the name of Jesus, I declare, because whatever we're declaring, because scripture tells us that no man can come to the Father except through Jesus. So that's in our prayers too. That's just not about salvation. So again, this message is not mind over matter. It's about calling on heaven to aid you and me in becoming everything Jesus died to give us. So it's about seeing ourselves the way God sees us and doing what God wants us to do by speaking the way God wants us to speak. And give me Proverbs 16. Pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Sweet words. Sweet words will do that. Health to our bones. So I want to close with this. I talked about Gavin's learning challenge earlier. The fact is that all of us were broken people at one time before Jesus. In fact, I see us all taking our broken pieces of our lives and laying them at Jesus' feet when we got saved. Once in a while, there might be a chip break off even after we're saved. Amen? But I always remember this story. So I'm probably going to butcher this name, so just sound like it. Just say, oh, shit. A Japanese shogun, Ashikaga Yoshimasa, damaged Chinese tea bowl back to China for repairs in the late 15th century. At the time, tea ceremonies were very popular back then, and tea was the desire for aesthetic pottery. It was the originally, and the Japanese wanted perfection. So when the Chinese returned the bowl, it was with ugly metal staples. Yoshimasa was so displeased, and he commissioned Japanese artisans to find a more beautiful and aesthetically pleasing method. They turned something broken and ugly into a beautiful piece of pottery. Go ahead and show those, Lauren. Mixed with gold, silver, or platinum. To celebrate the imperfection. To celebrate the imperfections. To celebrate the imperfections rather than trying to restore it to the original state. It's called Kintsugi. Kintsugi. No. Psalms 147:3 tells us that the Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. God is the master kintsugi artist. When we are broken, he doesn't toss us aside or get rid of us. He is close to us, and he saves us, and he makes us beautiful. He takes our ashes and turns it into something beautiful. When we break, God always, or when we get chipped, puts us back together stronger, healthy, more beautiful than before. Kintsugi shows us that broken things can be more valuable and beautiful than they were before, than they were new. I think about Gavin being a damaged little boy and think about how God made him stronger, more beautiful than ever, and he was valuable. He had value. God does that for each of us. Each of us. He wants us to see ourselves that way as valuable. He wants us to speak that way. He doesn't want you to speak ugly over yourself in any way, shape, or form. It's not talking or conceited. It's just saying the same thing as what God says about us. I am God's most prized possession. I am talented and gifted with special qualities. I have preferential treatment because of God's favor. I am programmed for success. I am a person of excellence and integrity. Is that too much for you all to say about yourself? Because I hope not. Because that's what God says about you. 2 Corinthians, Lauren. It's my last one. The scripture says, this is what the scripture says. I spoke because I believed. In the same spirit of faith, we also speak because we believe. We believe God says these things about it because it's in His Word. We have to speak faith to see the things we desire to come to pass. So don't be afraid to speak big, big things. Keep speaking until you see what you said. You are precious and valuable in God's sight. Amen? Amen. It's over. Today? I didn't know.